Good evening, everyone. For the next couple of minutes, I want to talk about a word that's going to be very important to us later in the study time, the time together. And that's the word expediency or expediencies. And I want to very quickly remind us about expediencies, because as we have the congregational meeting in a little while, that's really at the core of what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with a thus saith the Lord. We're not dealing with commands specifically. We're dealing with how the commands are going to be carried out. The first thing we're aware of is that whatever expediencies are chosen, they must be lawful. And we have that from 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And so we begin at the point, is this what the Scripture teaches? Now, how do we carry out that which the Scripture teaches? And those are the areas that we call expediencies. The other thing we want to remember is that expediencies are not specified by God. They can't be. Of course, He could have, but they can't be, because He's left it to our judgment in what we're going to do and what we're going to carry out. You might say that this is one of those axiomatic things that is so evidently true as not to need to be proven. It is not something that God has spoken of. The other thing about an expediency is that it must edify. And let me say that the edification is on the part of both that which we are doing, but also on what our hearts are like. We could dislike something, and as an expedient, we don't let it edify us. That's on us. That's not on the expedient. It's on us. So we are, however, required to make sure that it does edify. Could we do something that finds no edification within a congregation? The answer has to be no. Because if it fails in its effort to edify, then we're no longer in the realm of expedience. I would suggest that chapter 14, verse 26 in 1 Corinthians would make that point for us. Now, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. That's what we're about. We're about carrying out the will of God. We're about edifying one another, uplifting, building one another up. So an expediency has to be something that does that. And it must not offend the conscience, i.e., to cause someone to sin. And I wanted to make this point really specific. It's not about feelings. A lot of times people will get the attitude, well, you've offended my conscience. And what they're really meaning is, you've offended how I feel about something. Well, I don't want to offend your feelings, but there are times when the Word may offend our feelings. This is talking about when we do something that causes a brother to actually sin. That's what we're talking about with the expedience, or that's what we're talking about when it comes to the conscience. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 32. He's talking in this section about the eating of meats and outsiders. And he says, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. When you're dealing with the matter of the eating of meats, don't do anything that causes sin in relation to those relationships. And that's the idea of offense there. It isn't just the idea of, well, you, again, hurt my feelings, or I'm kind of offended by that. We can, with humor, be offended about something in sports or some other thing. This is a serious matter when it talks about offense in this particular passage. And another passage that's very helpful for me, at least in understanding this, is what he just talked about in chapter 8. Here he's talking about the relationship between brothers and sisters in Christ and the conscience of one another. There in verses 7 through 12, and I'm just reading portions of that particular reading on the screen behind me, and that's the reason for the series of dots where I've broken up some thoughts. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. And that is the fact that this is just meat. It was offered to an idol, but it's just meat. Doesn't mean a thing to God. For some, with conscience of the idol, until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol. In other words, when they see that meat, if they ate that meat, they would be eating that meat in praise and honor to Zeus. Well, you and I are eating it in praise and honor to filling our bellies because it's good meat. This person that came out of a worship of Zeus, I'm using this hypothetical, they would actually see us eating and they'd start eating with us, but they're not just enjoying a good piece of meat. They're actually, in their minds, back to the worshiping of Zeus. So that's what this passage is talking about, and we need to remember that as we consider it from time to time. Until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. In other words, their conscience is made to sin. Why? Well, because I shouldn't have eaten it. No, because when I ate it, I was eating it as a glory to Zeus in the eating of that particular piece of meat. And then he goes on to say, but beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. So that if I'm with a brother, and I'm not going to bring it into today's world, but there it was the idea, if I'm with this brother that's been converted out of Zeusology, and now he's a child of God, and in conversation I'm aware of that weakness, that he hasn't made a full break with it, then I need to be cautious and not invite him to have this piece of meat that I got down at the Zeus shop. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. So I, the stronger Christian spiritually, have caused this brother to take this piece of meat that we were enjoying, and now here he is. I may or may not be aware of it, but obviously there has to be some way that I've become aware of it. He's all of a sudden eating this in praise and glory to Zeus, then I've caused him to sin. I've sent him back to the idolatry. What's interesting there is that responsibility is placed upon me for having done that. The other thing that we need to remember, and this is my last point with regard to expediencies, substitutions and additions are never expedient. And when I talk about substitutions and additions, I'm talking about substituting what the Word of God says. Adding, when the Word of God says something, adding to what the Word of God says. I'm not talking about how we carry out what the Word of God says. I'm saying when we take something that is a coordinate with it. Quickest example is music. When I have the command to sing, making music in my heart to the Lord, if I bring another form of music besides the voice, then I'm adding to. And that is the idea of an instrumental music, a piece of instrumental music. That's the idea that we actually get into sin. So those add to God's laws. And those are the things we need to keep in mind as we talk about the matter of expediencies as we get into our discussions in a little while. The last thing that I would want to remind us of, and I don't have a passage up here, but it's simply two things. One is Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, "Do unto others as you would have others do to you." We have paraphrased that as the golden rule there in chapter 6 of Matthew. The other is as we go throughout the John's book, 1 John, repeatedly he tells us to have a love for one another and honor one another and caring about one another. And so the way we discuss things later, it's important that we have that love for each other, that we have that honor for one another, and that we show that respect for one another. And so let us understand what biblical expediencies are about. Let us understand our responsibility in honoring one another with love as we go through our discussion in just a few minutes. And now we have gone 9 minutes and 55 seconds. We're going to sing a song of invitation because we don't want to and any kind of assembly such as this without at least sharing with others the opportunity to hear and receive the gospel of Christ that offers salvation through the death of Christ. And we know what's involved. It is the realization that Christ indeed died for our sins. If you recognize yourself to be in darkness, then you need to turn away from that darkness and come to the light of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, you have repented, you have expressed that belief in Him, and your willingness now is to confess Him as the Son of God and be buried in baptism. If you would have a need for us to witness that and assist you in that, then we'd love to take that time. We're not rushed in things like that. We would be more than happy to do so. If you have a need to respond, we invite you to have a seat here at the front as we stand together and as we sing.